All right, I was told this would be our verse for today. I hope we're right. Yes? Okay. Oh, thank you. All right, so here we are. Krishna is speaking with Arjuna, speaking some quite strong words to convince him to fight. Bayad ranad uparatam mangsyante tvam mahavrata yesham chatvam bahumato Bhutva yasa silagavam. That was, that's called rasa basa. So, without looking at your phones, and without, maybe we can make it so we don't see the word for word. Who's controlling this? You're controlling. Okay, good. So what does baya mean?
Fear.
So bayat means out of fear, from fear. Okay? It's called the ablative form. And do you know what a runa is? Where are Krishna and Arjuna right now as they're speaking? On a battlefield. That's a rana. One of Krishna's names is Rana Chor. Yes, Rana Chora. We say Ranchor. When I first heard that name, I thought, oh, a rancher, like in America, they're ranchers. Krishna is also a rancher, but transcendental. Anyway, Ranachora. So Ranat means, if Bayat means from fear or out of fear, what would Ranat mean? Rana means battlefield. Ranat? From the battlefield. Very good. Uparatam is translated here as ceased or stopped. Mangsyante. They will consider. This comes from Manas, which means the mind. And it's future tense. You can tell that it's future tense because of the sa ya. So mangsya. Oh, it's there. You can see. Maybe you can. Yeah. Okay, that's all right. So mangsyante. And that sya indicates future tense. And NTE, that indicates that it's three or more persons. In Slovenian, you have the dual case. Very interesting. In Sanskrit, it's also a dual case. But there's, of course, plural, and this means mangsyante. They will think, they will consider. Okay. Tvam, we all know what tvam means.
You.
Yeah. And Maharata. What's a rata?
Warrior.
A chariot, yeah. But here we have, I mean, you're right, it's referring to warriors, but literally, chariot. So, Maharatha means one who is, well, it could mean one who has a big chariot. but it comes to mean, as Prabhupada says, the great generals. It's plural. We know it's plural because of the long A, rataha. So the great fighters against chariots or with chariots, something like that. Okay, yesham is here is translated for whom, cha, tvam, again, you, bahu mataha, in great estimation. That'll become clear in the translation, what that's about. Bhutva, this is called a gerund, which means having become, or becoming, or having been. So having been a bahumata, one who was highly regarded, yas yasi, again this sya is future, and the si at the end means you, so second person, singular, yas yasi, from yam, I think, to go. So, you will go. Where will you go? Lagavam. Maybe you know the word, you've all heard the word guru, yes? what's the opposite of guru? Huh? Aguru. You're right. What's another opposite?
Lagu.
That's right. Lagu. Yes. Lagu means light or insignificant. So you will become lagavam. You will become decreased in value. You will become lightweight. Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Purport, Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. Verdict means judgment. Quote, do not think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna, and other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield out of compassion for your brothers and grandfather. They will think that you have left out of fear for your life. And thus, their high estimation of your personality will go to hell. Okay. Krishna is continuing his argument to Krishna, to Arjuna, to persuade him to stand up and fight, as he will say several times. Utishto, stand up and fight. In verse 37, he will say, Tasmat utishta konteya yudhaya kritanischaya. And it's interesting how he's really changed quite suddenly the angle of argument from what he was arguing before. What was he arguing from verse 11 up to verse 30? What would you say was Krishna's basic argument?
We're not this material body, the soul.
Yes, and therefore, if we are not this body and we are eternal soul, then why would that be an argument for Arjuna to fight? No one will be killed. Yeah. Because Arjuna was concerned. Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktum Baikshamapi Haloke Atvarta Kamangs Tu Guru Nihaiva Bunjiya Bogan Rudhira Pradigdan. Our spoils from this fight will be smeared, Pradigda, with blood. And Krishna's not telling Arjuna, no, there won't be any blood, don't worry. There's going to be blood. But no one is going to be killed. What do you mean no one is going to be killed? That's what he's explaining. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahiti bhavaka, na chainam kledayantyapo na shushayati. Maruta, the soul cannot be burned or dried or cut, etc. Or soaked. You can't make it dissolve in water. All these... And na jayate mriyate vakada chinnayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yang purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. He makes it quite clear. So he makes that argument. Is Arjuna convinced by that argument? Apparently not. We don't read that Arjuna immediately said, oh, in that case, then I understand and I will get up and I will kill my guru. Bhishma was his guru, his military guru. I mean, Drona was his military guru. Bhishma was like a guru. No, he doesn't say that. So now Krishna is taking a different angle. And we might be surprised by this angle that he's taking. It seems in a way like he's taking a step down to a lower level of arguing. Because he's appealing to Arjuna's pride of being a kshatriya. He's appealing to his pride. More, I think that's essentially what's going on. From verse 31 through 38, I think it is. Yeah. He's appealing to his pride. He says, he makes his argument in regard to svadharma api cha aveksha navikampitam arhasi, dharmyat hi yudhat shreyaha anyat kshatriyasya navidyate. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know there's no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. Dharmya hi yudhat shreya anyat. Na, there is not anything better. And so you have nothing to worry about. You're going to do the right thing. Now, what has Arjuna been anxious about in the first chapter? What's his anxiety? His anxiety is not just, it's not about killing people in general. It's about killing who? His relatives, yes, his own relatives, his own people. Yeah, so he's thinking, I have a duty to my family, which is to protect them, not to kill them. And Krishna is basically completely ignoring that argument. He's completely ignoring. He's not saying to Arjuna, I know you're concerned about your family and I know you feel you have a duty to them, but there's another duty, and that is as a kshatriya. He doesn't say that. He just says your duty is you're a kshatriya. And in that location of argument, your duty is as a kshatriya, then he's appealing to his kshatriya spirit of pride. And his pride and also the sense of opportunity. Yadrichaya cha upapannam svarga dvaram apavritam. Sukina kshatriya partha lavante yudham idrisham. Come on, you're a kshatriya. Kshatriyas are thrilled to get such an opportunity to fight. It's a great opportunity. Why is it an opportunity? Svarga dvaram apavritam. The doors, the dvaram of svarga, apavritam, they open up wide for the kshatriya. Because what does the kshatriya want? He wants to go to heaven. What do the brahmins want? They want to go to heaven. How do they go to heaven? They do all of these elaborate sacrifices. Kshatriyas, all the kshatriya has to do is go out and get killed. In a battle. The Bhagavad Gita is part of the Mahabharata, and the Mahabharata, the sort of broad ethos of the Mahabharata is, you could say it's a culture of kshatriya heroism. It's macho kshatriyas confronting macho kshatriyas, and sort of working around and trying to do things in a dharmic way, but not necessarily, because they want to. They want to prevail more than anything. They want to conquer. They want to control one way or another. And so, you know, Dharma is there and we're very concerned about it. But, yeah, there's something else. And that's just this spirit of conquering and controlling. But here, Krishna is speaking in terms of Dharma, Svadharma. Actually, there are not so many verses in the Gita that use the word Dharma. I don't know how many, but it's not so many. Of course, the very first verse, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yuyutsama. And the almost last verse, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Forget about Dharma. You know, But my point is, the Mahabharata, of which the Gita is a part, it's all within this ethos of Kshatriya spirit. And you can say that's why Krishna is speaking in such terms here. In the next verse, verse 33, he gives a warning about the consequence of not performing his Kshatriya duty. Ata chetam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. Tataha, then, svadharmam kirtin cha hitva, having given up your dharma and your fame, kirti, hitva, papam avapsyasi, you're going to get sinful reaction. So Krishna's giving a kind of simple picture of ethics. And in our modern reflections on ethics, we might feel this is oversimplified. Life is not so simple. It's never so simple, is it? It's always a little complicated. Making decisions are always with so many different factors to consider. And that's in effect what Arjuna is trying to say in the first chapter. And Krishna is kind of dismissing it all and just saying, you only have to think of one thing. I'm a Kshatriya. My duty is to fight. If I don't fight, I will. If I do fight, I can go to heaven or I can win the kingdom. If I don't fight, I get sinful reaction. And now comes this three verses, verse 34, 35, 36, in which Krishna really kind of twists the knife about reputation. So, akirtim cha abhi bhutani katayishyanti te avyayam sambhavitasya cha akirti maranat atirichate. People will always speak of your infamy. And for a respectable person, sambhavita, for one who is respected, dishonor is worse than death. Maranat. Akirti is, Kirti means fame. Akirti is the opposite of that. Marana is death. Maranat means than death, comparing. Atirichate, it becomes more than death. So infamy is a bigger thing than death. And here in this verse, katayishyanti, they will speak, they will say, they'll be talking about you. And what will they be saying? They'll be saying so many nasty things about you. In this verse, there's the problem of reputation in terms of speaking. In today's verse, verse 35, it's about mansyante, it's about what people will think. And in verse 36, vadishyanti, again, speaking. They will speak nindanta. They'll say nasty things about you. So reputation. I think we're all concerned about reputation. I think it's who can measure, but we make so many decisions, day-to-day decisions, thinking sometimes very quickly and not very consciously, I will do so-and-so because of what others will think if I don't. Or if I do, then people will think nicely of me. Or this particular person will think this way of me. We're, isn't it? We're always saying, what will they think? What will they say? And of course, this is a big thing in the public sphere. I mean, the whole news media, seems like half of what comes on the news is about somebody's reputation getting smashed, isn't it? I remember, it just comes to mind, 1975, this is dating myself a bit, 1975 in Germany, when we had this problem, let's just say we had a legal problem of our society in Germany. And the news media of Germany, they chewed us up and swallowed us and spit us out. We were all over the press for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months. They never tired of what they thought was really juicy. This dangerous sect. So of course reputation is, as individuals, we have our reputation, but also collective. So of course we, as a collective of our society, we are concerned for our collective reputation. And that means we have to kind of simultaneously think for ourselves, our own reputation, and for as representatives of our society, our collective, isn't it? And of course, we also, and it's all tied together, we are especially concerned about our reputation in relation to senior devotees, in relation especially to our guru or gurus. That becomes first order of concern. But again, here, it's kind of, I don't know, to me it's a little surprising that Krishna is taking this angle to persuade. It's all about, he wants to persuade Arjuna to do something, to stand up and fight in a war. That's the immediate situation. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita as a whole, Arjuna is going to say, well, you know, let me understand things better. And then we get the whole 18 chapters of the Gita. But here, he seems to be wanting to say, look, stop thinking. Just get up and fight. You're a kshatriya. Kshatriyas, what do kshatriyas do? They don't think too much. They just get up and fight, okay? Don't worry. You'll go to heaven, or you'll get a kingdom or something. And if you don't, look what's going to happen. People are going to talk all nasty things about you. And even if they don't talk, they're going to think bad things. Mangsyante tam maharata. One might consider this section as what the Buddhists call an upaya. An upaya in the Buddhist context is, they typically translate as skillful means. A skillful means of having someone become more elevated spiritually. The idea in the Buddhist context is you're perhaps making some argument which is not about ultimate reality. But you use that argument because it's going to get an appropriate result or an appropriate understanding. So it seems like that's kind of what's happening here. Those are a few thoughts on this. Maybe we can see if there's any discussion. Anything you want to bring out or up or away or down? Ananta Prabhu, any thoughts? What if you were in the position of Arjuna? What would you say to all of this?
Thank you for this very nice explanation from different angles of vision. There's many new things to pick on that. No comment further from
that. What about my question? What would you say if you were in Arjuna's position?
I would be confused.
Arjuna was quite lucky. He had such a mentor in such a crucial moment. Otherwise, he would have made a mess if he wouldn't have Krishna.
He would what?
He would make a mess.
Make a mess.
You know, from his decision would be his, but it was Krishna who actually convince him what is the
wise. Yes, good. And he had declared that he's going to listen to Krishna, right? Karpanya dosho bahatas svabhava prichami tvang dharma samudha chetaha shishyaste hum. I'm your shishya. So he had committed himself to take Krishna's words seriously. And Krishna had already scolded him quite strongly, especially even before Arjuna makes that commitment. In a sort of rhetorical way, Krishna says, Klaivyamma smagama parta naitatvai upapandyate. Klaivya, from Kliba, it means something like it's the last thing that a Kshatriya would want to hear about himself. It's basically a eunuch, so someone who is, you know, not a macho Kshatriya. So he's saying, don't be a eunuch. Or we have a slang word in English, a wimp. You know this word? Don't be a wimp. Huh?
Hi, thank you for this lecture. I would like to ask. I would like to ask, how does one know which of the four positions he's in? So he's a Kshatriya, Brahmana.
Yes.
What's the procedure?
Yes, that's a question we all have. What am I? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra? In India, in some sense you could say traditionally that's made a lot easier because there was the general sense of probability that if you're born into a family of Brahmins or of Kshatriyas, etc., that's probably what you are. And they make it traditionally even easier with what is called the Jati system. Present day, the word caste is used, and this is a bit confusing. I think it's a Portuguese word, and whether caste means jati or whether it means varna or a combination of both is a bit confusing. Jati is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter. Toward the end of the chapter, Arjuna refers to jati, dharma. A jati is something more specific than varna. And anthropologists have estimated that presently in India there are some 3,000 different jatis. A jati is traditionally a profession, and one will be born into a certain profession. If your father made shoes, most probably you will also make shoes. And there's an advantage to that, that you don't have to speculate. You just know from very early. In fact, you're starting to learn how to make shoes at age 5 or 6, right? And you see that still in India very much, more in the villages than in the cities, but you see it. The cloth merchants in Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, the father will be there in the shop, in the cloth shop, and the son will also be there, you know, the 10-year-old boy. And the 10-year-old boy will be doing most of the work. He'll be taking all the saris down and showing them to the ladies from Europe. And they'll be unfolding all the saris. And then the ladies will maybe just buy one sari, and then they'll spend the next hour folding up all those saris again. How do we know what is our dharma? I always liked Bir Krishna Goswami's answer to this. He said, if you find yourself doing something and doing it all day long and being absorbed in it for 10 hours or 12 hours, that's your dharma. If it's something that you are inclined to do, then that may very well be your dharma. There's a whole, you know, that's a bigger subject, and Mother Urmila has written a whole book about it. Maybe you have copies of that book available, I don't know, called Career Dharma. Yeah, where she and her colleague did a lot of research on that subject exactly. A general principle for devotees is, Prabhupada had a little phrase, do the needful. And he was saying this based on his own experience. He was taking up the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and to do that, he was doing so many different things. He was doing the needful. And whenever there was someone to help him, he would get those people to also do the needful. So we have to be a little careful. There's kind of two things. I always say we want to serve Krishna in the long term, so we want to be happy in our service. And to be happy in our service, we need to do what we are inclined to do, to act. So that's there. And sort of paradoxically, we want to be ready. We want to be yes people. We want to be those who say, oh, here's a need, let me do it. Let me do whatever is needed. Because that is, yeah, because our mood, we want our mood to be Krishna first, not me and my satisfaction to serve Krishna. Right? Shishi pancha tattva ki jai. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Any ladies' comments or no? Anything you want to say about hairdressing dharma? That's perfection. When you find in what you're doing a way to connect people with Krishna, that's perfect. That's nice. Yeah.
There's a question from the Facebook.
From the Facebook sphere.
How come that Krishna did not mention to Arjuna the main reason for the war? Draupadi. Shouldn't that raise anger in Arjuna and a will or wish to fight?
Why doesn't he remind Arjuna about how the whole trouble started? This outrage against Draupadi that happened in the gambling match. Why doesn't he say, remember what happened back then, don't you? You're asking me why he does not say something. I always have only one answer to that. That you have to ask Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in some of his commentaries, he gives a little elaboration, almost like, you know, Krishna said such and such in the Gita, but we can understand he must have also said, and then he'll give two or three lines more. That comes a few times in the Gita. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his I don't know, his ecstasy, I guess. So, but in this case, I don't think he adds that. Of course, that will come up at other times. I mean, yeah, I don't want to guess why Krishna does not say something. I think here he's just concerned about making the point about Svadharma. You have a Svadharma, and these are the pros and cons. This is the issue with respect to your Svadharma. So he's giving a, using a technical English term, a deontological argument, that from the perspective of deontology, which is a form of ethics, which says, how should I act? Question, how should I should act as I am ordered to act, according to duty. I should not be considering anything except duty. It is my duty, then I do it. So that is a very strong principle, in broadly speaking, in Vedic culture. It is a way that we determine whether or not to do something. Oh, it's my duty, I do it. And so he's simply focusing on that at this, in this context. Your Svadharma, what is your Svadharma? You're a Kshatriya. Is there any doubt that Arjuna is a Kshatriya? No, it's completely clear that he's a Kshatriya. And so there's a simple one step from there. Therefore, your duty is to fight. So this is deontological ethics. It's not utilitarianism. It's not virtue ethics. It's not it's not ethics of care. That's a new sort of modern style of ethics. So he's giving the bare basic argument here in this case. Yeah. Yes, Sundar Gopal.
So here Krishna is persuading him about Svadharma, but then later he says, just depend on me.
Just depend on me.
Random over religion and everything, just render to me. So it looks like
yeah, this is why scholars reading the Bhagavad Gita say, oh, it is so full of contradictions. One point to be made here would be with regard to location of argument. So in this case, Sarvadharman Parityaja is coming at the end. And because it's coming at the end, that means that's carrying more weight. It's giving a conclusion. Here, he's giving a kind of preliminary argument. In the second chapter, he's saying, you know, let's start out with something that you understand, which is not at all abstract, and that is your identity as a Kshatriya. Let's go from there. It's a long ways from there to Sarvadharma and Parityaja. First, there has to be you know, a lot more understanding of who is this person to whom he should offer ekam sharanam, that he should completely surrender himself. And so also the spirit in which Arjuna then concludes, because it comes, you could say, to the same thing. He decides, yes, I'll stand up and fight. But the mood, the attitude he has by that time is so much different from what it might have been if he had just gone on the basis, oh, it's my duty, I have to fight. Now now means at the end of the Gita, he understands who is Krishna. He understands Krishna has already killed everyone. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravidho. Lokam samahartomi hapravittaha. But his understanding has become completely enriched by the feeling now of wanting to do his duty as a service to Krishna. So it becomes bhakti. Yeah, so Krishna in this part, he's in the second chapter, it's very much, it's not even, I mean, it's not really even karma yoga. It's just karma. Your duty as a karmi is you're a kshatriya and you're after a result, and here's what the result is that you can expect. So far, there's no talk of this is not even karma yoga. That's next chapter. And then there's a long way from there all the way to sarva dharma parityacha. Yeah. So, yeah, if you put them next to each other, it seems like a contradiction. But if you see the distance that they've traveled in between, I think then it makes sense. Krishna, yes.
So if I remember correctly, in that part Arjuna said, okay, so I either fight or actually go to the forest and renounce. Yeah. So if he would choose the second option, why would he actually care of what other people would
be? That's a nice point. Why would he care? He's renouncing everything. He's going to the forest. He's becoming a shramana. You know what a shramana is? They're the brahmanas and they're the shramanas. A shramana is an ascetic. And it's a term which includes all the different types of ascetics, including Buddhists and Jains and any kind of yogi. They're all shramanas because they're making efforts, great ascetic effort to restrain themselves. Yes, that's a good point. What would he care? Well, I think the point is he wouldn't last very long. And we see this before the battle when Arjuna goes to the forest. He performs austerity. He goes to the Himalaya during the Vana Parvan in order to do austerities, in order to win weapons. So we all know the story. He's, you know, just out there in the wild, and what is he doing? Not much of anything. Standing on one leg? I don't know. But he's, maybe, doing big austerity, and then this wild boar comes trotting by. He can't resist. He grabs his bow and he grabs his arrow and he shoots. And simultaneously, someone else shoots. And that someone else claims, "I shot first." And Arjuna says, "No, I shot first. It's my boar." "No, it's my boar. No, it's my boar." "Well, who do you think you are?" And then it becomes a fight. Why? Because Arjuna is a Kshatriya. You know, he could say, "All right, take your boar. You know, don't bother me. I'm doing austerity anyway." "I'm busy. I'm, you know, who cares about this? You know, I'm here for some much bigger purpose." He might have said that, but no. He says, "We have to fight." And of course they fight, and what happens? It turns out that this hunter is none other than Shiva himself. And Shiva is pleased with Arjuna, and being pleased with him, he blesses him with which? The Pashupata weapon, I think. Yeah. So, and this also Krishna will say toward the end of the Gita. He says, "Your nature is a kshatriya. You're gonna end up fighting anyway. You're gonna follow your nature anyway." So even if he would go to the forest, he would probably not get any sleep, because he would be thinking, "What are they saying about me?" You know. Yeah. Parashuram, you know, Parashurama. It's interesting. In the Ramayana, Parashurama meets Rama, Ramachandra. Ramachandra has just gotten married. He's a young boy, and they, you know, he's just going home. they're leaving Mithila, going back to Ayodhya, and Parashuram comes to challenge Rama. "What are you doing with using my name? My name's Rama. They're calling you Rama. Something is wrong." So then there's a confrontation, a serious confrontation. And finally, Parashuram backs down because he sees the superiority of Rama. Yeah.
So maybe we can draw a comparison to, if we say, okay, now we're gonna chant, I don't know, 32 rounds or something for a period of time, and we just can't do it because it's not in our nature, because we don't have the taste for that. We could do some other service or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One time Srila Prabhupada said, "I'm giving you so much service because you won't be able to chant all day. So I give you so much service to keep you busy." Okay, I guess on that note, thank you all very much. Have a good evening, good night, and we'll see you, I think, on Sunday, actually. Yeah.
Tomorrow, no?
Well, let's see.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.